We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Late Night. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI. Boston Sports Talk for Insomniacs and the Graveyard Pack.
Check it out!
Ball game is over. The Red Sox roll over the Toronto Blue Jays, 12-2. They hit five home runs.
Most baseball fights are real purse swingers.
I actually win. I've had, like, now this is my eighth straight winning season.
But nothing stood in his way. Laura will win the Preakness.
I am picking Improbable. Yes, he's the favorite on paper. I am taking him.
Wrong again, Manansky.
Bet me $1,000 right now or get the hell out of my studio. It's not your show.
I think Bradford beats him.
Lost his mind to such a degree that I think Bradford might even win that.
No, your athletic career is done. You talked out.
You took advantage of the rules stated that you made up.
Brad Ho.
A reminder not to shoot messengers.
Flame name's James.
Thanks, Buck.
I'm thinking more like Golden Shower.
I never shower.
So let's do this thing!
All right, well, Brian Barrett in tonight, WEI Late Night, 617-779-7937 is your number if you want to hop on board this evening. Plenty of room for you. All right, so sometimes in sports, there are occasions, there are moments that we have to acknowledge, and we have to acknowledge the greatness of said moments. And that's where I start today, a 12-2 win for the Red Sox, and we need to acknowledge what Jackie Bradley Jr. did today. He hit his first home run of the season. It only took him 39 games, but he hit his first home run of the season. So I would like to congratulate Jackie Bradley Jr. for finally hitting a home run. Congratulations to him. And by the way, just a quick digression about the Blue Jays. So first of all, in Canada today, they're celebrating Victoria Day. So it was a national holiday, and I'm sure a lot of people were hungover after last night the Toronto Raptors played that double overtime game where they beat the Milwaukee Bucks. But Vladimir Guerrero Jr., their only star. Really, how many Blue Jays players could you name today other than Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? Probably none, right? Because that team absolutely sucks. They're an atrocity right now. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., on a national holiday day, when everybody's off in Canada, he wasn't in the lineup. Are you kidding me? He wasn't in the lineup today. And even me, as somebody that was interested in watching this game, because I watch every single Red Sox game, I'm interested to see Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And you're telling me he's not in the lineup today. Not in the lineup today. And the manager, Montoyo, first-year manager, he says what? Well, everybody's going to get a day off. Yeah, but why do you choose that day to give the only guy interesting on your team the day off? You want to see Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in the lineup today if you're in Canada celebrating a national holiday. What an absolute joke. Talk about not understanding the situation. Not to mention the fact that if you're going to give Vladimir Guerrero Jr. a day off, give him a day off against a lefty. Or rather, give him a day off against a righty, not against a lefty like David Price. He's a right-handed batter. So we all didn't get to see Vladimir Guerrero Jr. play today. So we all have to wait till tomorrow. But man, what a missed opportunity. The only thing that's attractive about your team right now in terms of the aesthetics is watching Vladimir Guerrero Jr. like launch home runs. And at this particular point, you have him out of the lineup on a national holiday. Anyway, I want to start with this today. How confident are you right now that Danny Ainge, the president of basketball operations, that we're happy because he's made a full recovery? His son said a couple of days ago that he's already back to work. How faithful are you that Danny Ainge is actually going to get things right this offseason? 617-779-7937. Okay, so this is what I saw over the weekend. Steve Bolpet, Boston Herald. Couple of things from Steve Bolpet. Couple of bombs that he dropped over the weekend. So he mentions this, quote, this is in his article in the Herald. If the Pelicans can't convince Anthony Davis to stay, which is the first priority that David Griffin and his New Orleans Pelicans, they want to keep Anthony Davis. Sorry, it's not happening. How could he go back there? He can't. Okay, so he's not going back there. So nonetheless, if they can't convince him to stay, they will reach out to the Celtics as, quote, the most obvious trade partner. He goes on to say in his article, the Celts may still not be sure about a deal because it's not known yet what the Pels will want in return for the All-Star. But there seems to be a belief that they'd be able to work things out. So now, are you more convinced that Danny Ainge is going to be able to pull off a trade for Anthony Davis? And do you want Anthony Davis here in Boston? And there's a couple of reasons that I'm starting to lean towards, and I'm actually all in that Danny Ainge is actually going to be able to pull this off. A couple of things here. So Danny Ainge is looking around, and he sees what Giannis Antetokounmpo just did to his team. Just embarrassed his team. 4-1 in favor of the Milwaukee Bucks. The Celtics were utterly embarrassed, and Giannis Antetokounmpo is not going anywhere. We're not going to see Giannis going anywhere anytime soon. He has 2 years remaining on his contract, and that Bucks team right now, they just won 60 games. They have Mike Budenholzer, who's going to win Coach of the Year. That team is an absolute wagon right now. Nobody's touching that team right now in the Eastern Conference the way they're playing. I get Toronto won last night, but Milwaukee's still running that series. And until further notice, Giannis Antetokounmpo is running the Eastern Conference based on the way he played. And Danny Ainge saw it up close, seeing his team get embarrassed by Giannis and Mike Budenholzer. Then you also look at, okay, I get Joel Embiid struggled a bit against the Raptors. The guy had digestive issues. He had respiratory issues. He was dealing with a knee injury as well. You look at Embiid, though, this season. He averaged 27 points per game. 13 rebounds and 2 blocks. The guy is an absolute stud, okay? And he's going to get himself into better shape after what happened this postseason. I can guarantee you that he's going to be in better shape next season. So you have Giannis in the East. You have Joel Embiid in the East. Two young stud players. You look at the Celtics team. They need a serious injection of talent because clearly the roster you have right now, if you're Danny Ainge, it is not good enough to win at a high level. So you're waiting for Jason Tatum to develop. You're waiting for Jaylen Brown to develop. And we don't even know if those guys will ever develop into competent NBA stars. Hopefully all-stars. Do we know that at this particular point in time that those guys could eventually be all-stars? I look at Jason Tatum, and I'm sorry, I didn't see the improvement. Did anybody out there see the improvement with Jason Tatum this year? I look at Jason Tatum, he cannot dribble the basketball. He can't dribble the basketball. He got worse this year compared to last year. And you can talk about, oh, the coach's system and Kyrie Irving was getting more attention and whatnot. He had the ball more. But I look at Jason Tatum, I did not see much improvement. I saw a guy in Jason Tatum that took poor shots this year, took long twos, continued to take long twos. Not to mention the fact he never gets to the free throw line. He attempted 2.9 free throw attempts per game. That's horrible. If you're going to be an elite scorer in this league, you have to get to the free throw line. I'm not talking about, you don't have to be James Harden getting there 11 times a night. But you think about it from this perspective. Kevin Durant, his second year in the league, was attempting 7 free throws per game. I look at Jason Tatum, the guy can't dribble right now. How can I be assured that to be an elite scorer in this league, you need to get to the line, unless you're Steph Curry, the best shooter we've ever seen. Other than that, you need to get to the free throw line. And Jason Tatum right now is allergic to getting to the free throw line. I also look at, okay, how about Jaylen Brown? Do you ever believe that Jaylen Brown is going to be like an all-star level player? Maybe once or twice, but are you depending on Jaylen Brown being an all-star for the foreseeable future? He's a great athlete. I understand that. He's really good in transition, but he's still not a great one-on-one player. Do you ever see him averaging like 25 points per game? So you look at the Eastern Conference, they got a top 5 player in Milwaukee and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Joel Embiid right now is a top 10 player in this league, and you don't have a top 5-ish guy in this league on your team. You don't even have a top 10 guy on your team, even if Kyrie Irving returns. You don't have a top 10 guy. We saw that play itself out in the postseason. So if you're Danny Ainge, you saw it up close and personal this year. You're not winning at a high level right now. And you look at Ainge, he sees that that's the guy out there that could completely change your franchise. And he looks at what he has, that treasure chest of assets, that treasure chest of young players. Well, eventually, the date on that is going to expire. He's going to need to cash in on these assets sooner rather than later. Or what is he going to have? What is he going to have from that Nets trade? Because remember what the narrative was after the Nets trade. Look at all these picks that the Celtics have. Well, at least a couple of years after the Nets trade, when we realize what those picks are going to be. A couple of third overall selections, okay? Well, one was a first overall selection that you were able to basically trick the Philadelphia 76ers to take a guy that doesn't even know how to shoot a basketball at this particular point in time in Markelle Fultz. But if you're Danny Ainge, you had all this stuff, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. You traded away a draft pick for Kyrie Irving along with Isaiah Thomas, who clearly that was the right move at that time, at that juncture. But you look at it right now, after what Danny Ainge did, after he absolutely fleeced the Nets, what does Danny Ainge have to show for it? What does he have to show for it? Because right now, what he has to show for it is the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference that got absolutely embarrassed by the Milwaukee Bucks in the second round of the postseason. Congratulations on beating the Indiana Pacers without their best player, Victor Oladipo. This Celtics team right now does not have the talent, as we saw in the postseason, to compete at the highest level. So when do you see Danny Ainge being able to make a move that puts his team over the top? That's why I'm more convinced than ever that he's going to be able to land Anthony Davis, because this is the time to do it. Because if he doesn't do it now, then when is it going to happen? And we've seen Danny Ainge. He's kept the powder dry. Paul George's name came up. Didn't want to give up the farm, so to speak, to use a baseball term, for Paul George. Didn't want to give up the farm for Jimmy Butler. But Anthony Davis is different. Anthony Davis is a guy that 2 years ago averaged 28 points per game. This past season, he averaged 25 points per game. And he was dealing with all this trade rumor stuff and whatnot. He is Anthony Davis, when right, one of the top five players in this league, one of the most dominant players in this league. And if you're Danny Ainge, you have to realize that this Nets trade, the return you got for this Nets trade, it's eventually going to expire. Because if I'm Danny Ainge, I'm not willing to just go with that trade and say Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are good enough in that deal for me. That's good enough for me to build this team long term. Because look, maybe they turn into a playoff team in a couple of years. Maybe they do. And they were a playoff team the past couple of years. But I mean, maybe they turn into a nice little playoff team with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum as the main piece. But what I want to do, if I'm rooting for this Celtics team, I want to see this team perform at the highest level, which means go out there and get yourself a top five player in this league. And Anthony Davis is that. Okay, now, the order of operations, maybe it's different than you originally thought, because we all know what's happened with Kyrie Irving this offseason and Kyrie Irving during this season. All the drama that went around with Kyrie Irving. Okay, we've seen everything that Kyrie Irving has said publicly, and now we don't know what Kyrie Irving is going to do in his free agency. Quite frankly, I don't honestly believe that Kyrie Irving knows what he's going to do in his free agency. The guy changes his mind left and right. I imagine that's part of the reason that he's so difficult to work with, is because every second, it seems like Kyrie Irving changes his mind. So I can't imagine that that's a very fun person to be around on a day-to-day basis. And clearly, based on some of the comments we saw after the season, or heard after the season, it wasn't exactly the funnest locker room to be in. But the order of operations now, if he can go out there and get himself Anthony Davis, can Danny Ainge? Because remember, he has the most to offer. You can look at the Lakers and say, well, they have Brandon Ingram, they have Kyle Kuzma, they have Lonzo Ball, they have the fourth overall pick. Well, Ingram, in terms of the value there, that's diminished because you don't know about the long-term health. He's dealing with a blood clot issue. And quite frankly, Brandon Ingram has not been the player everybody expected him to be. So that package is not super appealing. You look at the other teams that could be in the hunt. The Knicks have nothing to offer besides the third overall pick, which essentially is RJ Barrett. Okay, and then the rest of that roster is not good. You want Dennis Smith Jr., who's now already on his second team in his second year. What else do you want? Kevin Knox, that guy's not good. You look at the Clippers, yeah, they have Landry Shamet, they have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and they have a couple of draft picks, but those are Philadelphia draft picks, which, quite frankly, they're not going to be that good. So the Celtics still, with the promise of Tatum, even though I'm not super high on Tatum or Brown at this point in terms of future superstars, but if you look at Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, those are the selling pieces, not to mention the fact that Danny Ainge still has some draft picks. He has the 14th overall pick this year that he got from the Sacramento Kings. And let's not forget the fact that that Memphis pick, it actually picked up more value on lottery night because it did not convey. It didn't go to the Celtics this year because it was top eight protected. Next year, that pick is going to be top six protected. And after that, if it doesn't convey, then that pick essentially becomes an unprotected pick. So that's one of the great assets that Danny Ainge still has at his disposal, because you know that Memphis is not going to be a very good team next year. Okay, they're going to trade away Mike Conley, and they're also in a position at this point in time where they're going to have two young players basically manning things. Ja Morant, they're going to draft second overall, and of course, they have right now Jaren Jackson Jr., who dealt with an injury towards the end of the season. But that Memphis team is going to suck in all likelihood. They're going to be in the top six next year, which means the Celtics won't get to pick that year or wherever the trade goes, and then you have that pick out in the future. So the Celtics still have the most appealing package, and I have to imagine that Danny Ainge is going to be desperate, and he's going to pull the trigger on an Anthony Davis trade. So then becomes the new order of operations for Danny Ainge, and that means going after Kyrie Irving with having Anthony Davis there. You have Anthony Davis, and you say to Kyrie Irving, listen, Kyrie, and we all know that Kyrie Irving has become, at times this season, unbearable. But what Danny Ainge can sell to Kyrie Irving is this. Hey, Anthony wants to come here, and he wants to win. And we need you on board for that, Kyrie. And you got to kiss up to Kyrie Irving. That's what they're going to have to do. Because what tells you they won't kiss up to Kyrie Irving? They've been doing it the whole time. Kyrie Irving got away with everything. There was no repercussions for Kyrie Irving's actions. He could say whatever he wanted, and he never got any sort of feedback in a negative way from the organization. Yeah, fans were outraged at some of the stuff that Kyrie Irving did and some of the actions that Kyrie Irving took during the season, but it was never like the organization was upset with Kyrie Irving. It was all about the fans being upset with Kyrie Irving. Even though his teammates were upset with him, none of the teammates said stuff besides like Jaylen Brown. He's the only one during the season that actually said, we need our leaders to lead from the top. We need the top guys to lead. Remember, that's like the only time somebody on the actual team called out Kyrie Irving.
Ask me July 1st.
Exactly. Ask him on July 1st about his free agency. So what tells you that the organization won't suck up and try to keep Kyrie Irving? That's exactly what's going to happen if they get Anthony Davis. And what Danny Ainge can do is he can sell him on this. Okay, Kyrie, and you can play to his ego. Anthony's going to be the captain of the defense here. He's going to be a dominant defensive force for you. This is going to be an unbelievable best pick and roll guy that you can ever play with in the history of your life in the NBA. Okay? And you can be the offensive guy. You can run the offense. And Anthony can play the Kevin Garnett role. Remember when Kevin Garnett came over from Minnesota? He just became, and not that he wasn't already a great defensive player in Minnesota, but remember, he became more concerned with the defense and Pierce did his thing offensively. It was still Pierce's team offensively and Kevin Garnett took care of the defense. That's exactly the selling point that Danny Ainge can have. That's the point that Danny Ainge can sell to Kyrie Irving is, look, you're going to have the offense and Anthony Davis can have the defense. And if you look at Anthony Davis, if he comes here and Kyrie Irving's here, there's no way he's not going to sign long term. You really think he's going to come here for a year? Okay, think about this. Think about Anthony Davis right now. Think about it from his angle. Anthony Davis doesn't want to sign the Supermax with the Pelicans because he wants out. The Supermax is worth $240 million, around that. The Pelicans can put that offer in front of him in June, and he doesn't want to sign it. He does not want to be there. Okay, so that means the next team that trades for him, the team that trades for him, can sign him the next offseason to about 5 years, depending on what the cap gets to, $190 million. But if he leaves that team, he can only go out on the open market for 4 years at about $141 million. So you actually believe that Anthony Davis is going to get traded to a team and then go to another team, which means sacrificing, essentially, if you go from the Supermax to a four-year deal, you're sacrificing about $100 million. And Anthony Davis coming here, playing for an organization that has had success, and I get they underachieved this year, but a team that in the recent past, not so recent, 11 years ago, they won a championship, but they've played in conference championships over the past couple of years, despite this season, a team that has won at a high level, considering what he was dealing with in New Orleans. He's going to be willing to come here and be like, oh, this is what it's like to play for a relevant franchise. Oh, this is what it's like when there's actual people in the stands. Because when I was playing in New Orleans, we were 21st in attendance. Okay, it was an absolute joke. Nobody watched our games. Nobody cared about our team. Once he comes here, just like Kevin Garnett, remember, he didn't originally want to come here. Then he did, and he absolutely loved it. Okay, so if Anthony Davis gets here, he's not leaving. He wants to sign long term. He wants to be on a winner. And I also look at it from Anthony Davis's perspective. This is his best opportunity to kind of become the star of a franchise, right? Because if he goes to LA, that's still LeBron's team. That's still LeBron James's team. Even when he becomes the better player, say in a year or two, when LeBron James starts to age, and we saw it a little bit this year with the groin injury and whatnot, it's still going to be LeBron James' team. LeBron James is the biggest star. If, say, hypothetically, he wants to force a trade to New York and pair up with, say, if Kevin Durant goes there, Kevin Durant's the biggest star. He comes here. He becomes beloved in this town, not to mention the fact that Kyrie Irving, there's a lot of making up he's going to have to do with the fan base if he does stay. So Anthony Davis will be the reason that the Celtics team takes a major leap next year. He will be the superstar of this team. He will be the face of the franchise, if you will.
Not four.
Well, I just like to see one. That's what I'd like to see from the Celtics. Get one again, because you haven't had one this decade. After the treasure trove that Danny Ainge was able to get from the Brooklyn Nets a couple of years ago, when are you going to cash in? When are you going to get that superstar? You didn't want Butler. You didn't want Paul George. And I get it. Those guys aren't in the upper echelon. They're not in the Kevin Durant. They're not in the LeBron James territory. Anthony Davis ain't Kevin Durant, but he's pretty damn close. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Jack, who's in Northeastern. What's up, Jack?
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on, man?
So, earlier you talked about Jason Tatum and, like, how you wouldn't rely on him as like, because he did so bad, not as good as he did last season. The reason why he did so well last season, because Kyrie wasn't there for the last half of it. You look at guys like Kevin Durant, Paul George, James Harden, at their like third and fourth season, they really blossomed into their like their prime. And I think we're going to see that with Jason Tatum this year.
Jack, hold on one sec. So you think, based on what you've seen over the past 2 years of Jason Tatum's career, and I understand Kyrie Irving took some opportunities away from this year, you are still willing to bet on Jason Tatum eventually being a perennial all-star like Kevin Durant is? You think he's got, or Paul George is, you think he could be a 7-8-time all-star? You still believe in Jason Tatum in that capacity?
Yeah, but it's definitely not going to be like, you might have to take some time with it. Like, it's probably going to be like with KD, you see, I think it was his fifth or sixth season that they went to the finals and they lost, obviously, but you know, different, like with he had James Harden on his side and Russell Westbrook. We have like Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown. You have Al Horford. You got like other, more supporting pieces for that team to be successful in the future. And you have picks coming up too. And I think they should make an offseason move this year, but I think it's time to just kind of like sit back and kind of let things play out a little bit and see how they do by not signing a free agent.
So, Jack, you want to rebuild. You're saying, I'm going to go with the young kids. I want to rebuild. I'm not interested in getting rid.
Not necessarily a rebuild, just kind of see how things play out, because we'll still make the playoffs and we're not going to be tanking if we don't like sign a big name. But just giving Jason Tatum those looks, giving Jaylen Brown those looks, Marcus Smart kind of developing his offensive game, and Gordon Hayward just kind of getting back in the swing of things, because without Kyrie in the picture, you guys give those guys more looks and it gives the team more time to develop.
Yeah, I hear you. You can grab his line if you want. It's 617-779-7937. A couple of things to that. My fear with building around Jason Tatum and building around Jaylen Brown is maybe those guys do develop into all-star capable players. Maybe they do one day. But I'm afraid you're going to become the Washington Wizards. Are you going to be John Wall and Bradley Beal? Those two guys are good players, and Wall right now, not anymore because he's injured, but those guys were in the playoffs, but they never had an opportunity to win at a high enough level because neither one of them was the ultimate star. Neither one of them was a top five guy in this league. That's what's concerning to me is if you're building around Tatum and Brown, you need one of those guys to eventually be one of the five, six best players in the world, and I just haven't seen anything so far in either one of those guys' careers that tells me that they have the potential to do that. I get Jason Tatum is a great scorer, and he showed that at Duke, and he showed that a little bit in his rookie year. This year, he took a step back. I'm really worried about the fact that he doesn't attack the basket. You can't tell me that he wasn't told to attack the basket more, and clearly he's not doing it. He averaged 3 free throw attempts per game. I just don't see Jason Tatum. I think it's a long shot that he's ever going to develop into that fifth or sixth best player in the league. And that's what you need in this league to win at a high level. And Anthony Davis, we know he's shown the potential, averaging 28 points per game 2 years ago, to get to that level. Anthony Davis is that proven commodity. That's what Anthony Davis is. So I look at this as the expiration date on that Nets trade is starting to run out. And what you have to be able to pick up Anthony Davis is young players like Jason Tatum, and it's draft picks, and it's Jaylen Brown. And if it's me, I'm cashing that in, and I'm getting the top 5 to 6 player, and then I'm worrying about the rest later. I'm worrying about getting Kyrie later. And then you figure out everything from there, because once you get that top 5 guy locked in, then you're all set. Then you're just building from there. And if you look at Danny Ainge, I can't imagine that he's going to be happy that if all he comes away with in the Nets trade is Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and who knows what's going to happen with Kyrie Irving. He has to get one of these top upper echelon guys, if you will, because if he doesn't get one, what was this all for? What was this wait all for? Why didn't you get Paul George? Why didn't you get Jimmy Butler? Why didn't you get some other pieces to go around with some of these guys if you weren't going to cash in ultimately on one of the biggest prizes and Anthony Davis? All right, a lot more to get into. Do you trust that Danny Ainge will do the right thing this offseason? Also, Kyrie Irving, do you want him back? 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you for the next 3.5 hours or so. We got a trending coming up as well.
Losing sleep over the Sox, Pats, B's, and C's? We get it. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, do you trust that Danny Ainge will make the right decisions? What do you want Danny Ainge to do this offseason? Brian Barrett with you for the next 3.5 hours or so. Number 617-779-7937. This all because of the Steve Volpet article in the Boston Herald that came out over the weekend. He mentions that if the Pelicans can't convince Anthony Davis to stay, they will reach out to the Celtics as, quote, the most obvious trade partner. The Celts may still not be sure about a deal because it is not known yet what the Pels will want in return for the All-Star, but there seems to be a belief that they'd be able to work things out. The number one thing they want is Jason Tatum. That's what they want. They want Jason Tatum. So are you willing now to say, if you're Danny Ainge, to say, all right, I'm done with Jason Tatum, bring on Anthony Davis, even though he only has 1 year remaining on his contract, even though you don't know what eventually is going to happen with Kyrie Irving? And are you at a point where you don't even want Kyrie Irving to be around anymore? Because clearly after the series against the Bucks, there was a lot of people that turned on Kyrie Irving and said, we don't want Kyrie Irving in this town anymore. I look at, for me, order of operations, I would go after Anthony Davis first, because this is the time you're going to need to do it. Jaylen Brown is going to eventually need a new contract. Jason Tatum is eventually going to need a new contract in a couple of years. So Anthony Davis, this is the time that you have to get him. This is the time where he is actually on the trading block. And this is the only superstar in terms of a top five-ish guy in the league that's going to be available via trade. This is the guy that you need to get if you want to completely change around the organization. I'm typically not the person that wants to wait around. I don't want to wait around for the development of Jason Tatum, for the development of, say, a Jaylen Brown, depending on what you have to give up to go after Anthony Davis. I want to cash in now. I want to get that top five guy in here and then worry about the rest later. Because look around the NBA right now. What are you doing if you don't have one of those guys? Look at the four teams in the conference finals. The Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo could be the MVP of the league this year. Probably will be him or James Harden. Kawhi Leonard, clearly a top five guy in this league. And then you look at Steph Curry out there in Golden State playing like a top five guy this year, although he hasn't been a top five guy this season. He's clearly been in the past. They also have Kevin Durant. And Portland, we all know, is fraudulent. That team does not belong in the conference finals. They got a very relatively easy draw when you get OKC, and then you get a young and upcoming Denver team. But nobody believes in Portland. That's why they're down 3-0. I get they have a four-point lead tonight, but now they're playing without Kevin Durant or the Warriors, and they're playing without Andre Iguodala. So you look at what these teams have at the top. They have star-level players, okay? They have superstar-level players. What the Celtics don't have right now is a superstar-level player. They found out the hard way that Kyrie Irving wasn't that guy. Kyrie Irving is not capable of carrying a team with the cape on, right? He's not capable of being Batman right now. You need to find that guy, and Anthony Davis is that guy. So I don't want to sit around after all you did in terms of you got all this stuff in the Nets deal. I don't want to come away with just having Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and maybe even Kyrie Irving leaves. I don't want to come away with just that. That's not what I want. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, that doesn't guarantee you anything. You get Anthony Davis, that guarantees you a top 5 to 6 guy in this league, and then you build around him. You figure out the rest later. You build around that guy, okay? And then you go to Kyrie Irving, and I'm on board with making sure you keep Kyrie Irving after that, because I understand all he put this team through, all he put this organization through. But if you have Kyrie Irving going back to his typical role, which is his Robin role, not the Batman role, he's not the end-all be-all with the team anymore, because that'll be Anthony Davis, who is an incredible two-way player, right? I'm fine with sucking up to Kyrie Irving, and you can convince Kyrie Irving, look, Kyrie, the offense will be yours. You'll run the offense. Anthony will be the dominant defensive player. You can convince Kyrie Irving of that. Because if you go with Anthony Davis and you go with Kyrie Irving, you're an Eastern Conference Finals team. That's how good you are with those two guys. Because I understand that Kyrie had his shortcomings in the postseason this year. But that was as the guy. You have Anthony Davis taking some pressure off Kyrie Irving. And you have Anthony Davis dominating at the defensive end. Unbelievable in terms of shot blockers. You have Rudy Gobert. You have Joel Embiid. And you have Anthony Davis. That's how good Anthony Davis is. So that's what I'd be doing. I don't care about the future with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Maybe those guys turn out to be all-stars down the road, but I want to start winning now if I'm the Celtics. I want to start competing now. And if I'm Danny Ainge, I want to start competing now, because what would this Herschel Walker-like trade be if you don't cash in? What is it eventually going to be? Because right now, it got you the fourth seed this year in the Eastern Conference, and who knows what the future holds if you don't trade for a guy like Anthony Davis now. You're just going to build around Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I'm scared that you're going to become the Washington Wizards. I'm scared that you're going to become the Raptors with Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan before they got Kawhi Leonard. Why did the Raptors trade for Kawhi? Because having guys like Lowry and DeMar DeRozan wasn't good enough for them. I'm scared that that's the future of the Celtics. They're a nice playoff team, but they're not the team that is ultimately a team capable of competing for championships year after year, which in a short window, you would be able to do that with Anthony Davis and with Kyrie Irving. I just did not see the development in year two from Jason Tatum to say, yeah, he's definitely a star. In fact, I saw guys pass him up this year. Donovan Mitchell played better than him, and I get Mitchell was really good last year as well, but he was significantly better this year. De'Aaron Fox was better than him. The rookie in Dallas, Luka Doncic, was better than him. So are you so sure that you want to build around Jason Tatum that you don't want to take a shot at going after Anthony Davis when you know if you're Danny Ainge, you have the artillery, you have the weaponry in terms of assets to be able to get him? 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Joe. He is in Warren. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how's it going, Brian?
Good. What do you got?
Well, I'm not saying that Kyrie isn't a pain and isn't to blame for some of the faults, but I hope you agree with me. There's, you know, Gordon Hayward not beating himself 100%, and God knows if he ever will be. And, you know, little spoiled brats like Rozier didn't help this team this year. So I do have a proposition for you to consider.
What's
that? Assuming we keep Kyrie. I mean, I know this sounds like a crazy idea, but let's forget Anthony Davis altogether. And what about KD possibly being interested in coming to play for us? If we can keep Kyrie, because they're good friends, supposedly. I know that's a wild assumption to make, but is it possible, you think?
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Joe. 617-779-7937 is the number. You would have to do some salary cap gymnastics. You would probably have to get the Warriors to agree to a sign and trade with Kevin Durant to actually make that happen with everything that goes on with the salary cap. I just feel like that's too much of a pipe dream. Now, if you could actually get Kevin Durant, clearly that would be the move. I just don't see that as a possibility. And Anthony Davis is a legitimate possibility. I don't see the Kevin Durant thing as a legitimate possibility. As much as I'd want it to happen, remember, we all heard years ago that Danny Ainge was one of the only general managers that wanted Kevin Durant over Greg Oden at the time in 2007 when Danny Ainge last had to change course, and then that's when he traded for Ray Allen, and that's when he eventually traded for Kevin Garnett. Remember, that's when that happened. He was the one that wanted Durant over Oden. One of the only GMs Danny Ainge was in that particular year that would have rather had Kevin Durant than Greg Oden. So I would love to have Durant. I just don't see that as a possibility. And I see Anthony Davis as the possibilities right in front of you. All you have to do is put the best offer on the table, and you have the best offer to give to the New Orleans Pelicans. So if it was me, I would do it in a heartbeat because you need one of those guys to win in this league. Look at it. The past couple of championships, Durant, two in a row. Okay. You look at LeBron James before that. Steph Curry was the MVP the year that they won the championship. So you need one of those guys to be able to compete at a high level. Even going back to the Dallas championship, you had Dirk Nowitzki playing at a top five level. You need one of those guys. And right now, we found out that Kyrie Irving isn't one of those guys. Kyrie Irving isn't the guy that's going to carry you. The evidence is there. Look at the Bucks series. Even the Indiana series, he didn't play particularly well. So the evidence is there that Kyrie cannot be that guy. So you need to do everything you can to get one of those guys in here. And that one guy is sitting right in front of you in Anthony Davis. All you have to do is put that offer on the table. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Pierre, who's in Portland. What's up, Pierre?
Hey, man, I agree. You know, I'm definitely the kind of guy that I'll give up everything and anything to get to the championship now. I'm not one of those kinds of guys that's like trying to hang on to the young kids, hoping that they grow and whatnot. However, if you take a look at like Golden State, how they got where they are, they got lucky. I mean, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Draymond Green, they weren't top five picks. Draymond Green was a second round pick.
Yeah, second round.
So you need more than just, you need to get lucky is what it is. And the way the Celtics can get lucky is if Jalen and Jason can become those elite talents that you need. Now, if you trade away both those guys for AD, and then AD decides that he doesn't want to stay, what are you stuck with?
Well, then you're stuck with the hypothetical of Kyrie Irving. Then you got to go to Kyrie Irving and convince him to stay. If you get Anthony Davis in here, I think you can convince Kyrie Irving to stay. Because here's the other thing, Pierre, you sell to Kyrie Irving. When you get Anthony Davis in there, you got rid of the young players, right? Because Kyrie Irving clearly had an issue with the young guys. And I know him and Tatum are friends, but part of the reason he was so upset during the year, and whether it was warranted or not, is he was aggravated with the young guys. He didn't think they were good enough. And now you got him another superstar to pair up with. So I'm convinced you could convince Kyrie Irving to stay. And the other thing with Kyrie is this. You offer him $190 million.
Isn't that the same gamble?
What's that?
Isn't that the same gamble?
What do you mean, the same gamble?
You're gambling that you can hope to keep to win over AD and Kyrie.
Yes, you know, but I believe, Pierre,
with a non-guaranteed contract.
Yeah, you're saying you're running I see what you're saying. You're saying you're running back like you are now trying to convince Kyrie, and then you're going to have to do the same thing in a year with Anthony Davis. But I believe if you keep Kyrie, you're going to be able to convince Anthony Davis to sign long term. The thing with Kyrie is this. If you get him a guy that is a legitimate star in the league, it seems like that would make it more likely that Kyrie Irving would be willing to stay, especially considering the fact that the young guys are what he was aggravated with. And if you look at it this way, too, Kyrie Irving, remember, multiple knee issues. He had a knee issue that cost him the postseason last year. 2015 finals, couldn't play after game one because of a knee issue. The Celtics can put $190 million on the table. Everybody else can only offer $141 million. And Anthony Davis...
That is the only logic that makes me feel secure. But, you know, what if we went all out, gave up everything to get Anthony Davis, and, you know, and they fail in, like, the second round. Giannis is just too much. And, you know, they both say, you know what, the landscape has changed. Let's go over here.
Well, Kyrie won't be leaving in that particular scenario, Pierre. I appreciate the call. You can grab his line if you'd like to. 617-779-7937. Under that scenario, Kyrie Irving would already be under that five-year contract. I just don't see it happening. If Anthony Davis comes here, and maybe I'm drinking the green Kool-Aid right now, but I believe they'll be able to convince Anthony Davis to stay here. And especially considering the fact, when you look at it from Anthony Davis's angle, he's played in New Orleans. That is a garbage basketball town. Now, maybe Zion Williamson can change some of that, right? But if you look at it, they had no fans at their games this year. He's playing in front of nobody. And he's playing in non-competitive series, right? He's won one playoff series in his career over the Portland Trailblazers, who, by the way, that Portland team is in the conference finals right now. Anthony Davis swept him last year, okay? He absolutely swept him. He annihilated them last year, okay? Mainly because of his work, okay? He annihilated them. So you bring him here, and he's actually playing at an arena that is sold out every game. And if he has Kyrie Irving alongside him next year, that's a team that is competing in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's how good that team will be. Toronto's not that good. You see Toronto play the other night? Like, Toronto outside of Kawhi Leonard, what do they have? And he may be gone. So you may be getting Anthony Davis. You'll be on a crash course with the Milwaukee Bucks to get to the NBA Finals if you can get Anthony Davis. Because if that happens, I would imagine Kyrie's going to say, wait, so now I get a superstar. Danny got rid of the kids on the team. So a lot of the kids are gone. So it's me and Anthony Davis. We have a chance to run the league. And wait, hold on. I can get $49 million extra dollars if I stay here. I believe you'll be able to convince Kyrie Irving to stay once you get Anthony Davis. I get the order of operations is not ideal. You'd rather Kyrie Irving give you that commitment, but that's just the way Kyrie is. He's odd. He's a contrarian. He likes to be different. All right. A lot more to get into, including Kyrie Irving. Maybe some bad news for Kyrie Irving when it comes to his free agency. Number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for about the next 3.5 hours or so right here on WEEI Late Night.
The genius of Brad Stevens, and I think he's one of the best coaches in the NBA.
The internal struggle that is Kyrie Irving.
I mean, you can feel the tension in the air.
But only one person's going to win.
There's only one Boston sports station that's live and local until 2 a.m. This one. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, if you want to hop on board, certainly welcome to do so. The number is 617-779-7937. All right. Do you trust that Danny Ainge will do the right thing this offseason? Do you want him to go after Anthony Davis? I've made it abundantly clear. He's a top five guy. I want a top five guy here. And then you settle the rest after that. So I'm all in. Go in. Go trade everything you need to do to get Anthony Davis. Then I'm convinced you'll be able to keep Kyrie Irving here. You'll be able to keep Kyrie Irving happy. And Kyrie won't have to deal with the young guys anymore. So Kyrie Irving won't be as irritated. So if you want to hop on board and weigh in on that, certainly welcome to do so. Also wanted to touch on this. So Andrew Benintendi back in the lineup today. The Red Sox, by the way, if you didn't know, they won 12-2 over a horrible Toronto team. By the way, Edwin Jackson has now played on 14 major league teams. I did not realize that until today. I knew there was a lot, but 14? That's the record. He's played on 14 teams. Now, he has not played on the Red Sox yet, which is probably a good thing because it's not very good. But 14 teams for Edwin Jackson. But I look at Andrew Benintendi, okay? So today he's 1-5, and by the way, he did not get a hit in the first inning. So I don't understand why Andrew Benintendi is still in the leadoff spot. He has 2 hits in the first inning all season long. 2 hits in the first inning all season long. And outside of the first inning, he's hitting north of 320. So I don't understand why Andrew Benintendi, why Alex Cora is so married to this idea that Andrew Benintendi should stay in the leadoff spot. I don't understand why this is a thing. I really don't. We're what? 47 games into the season now, whatever it is, and you still have Andrew Benintendi in the leadoff spot when clearly he cannot hit in the first inning of games. So what is the point of putting the player there when he's not succeeding? Is it because of the fact that, if you remember, there was a big deal made about this? Remember, it was during the winter meetings. This was like a major announcement, which you never really see. You don't see this at the winter meetings. And by the way, the winter meetings suck now anyway. You don't get big signings there. You get them like way after that. Remember Harper was like, what, 2 weeks before spring training? Yeah, nothing happens at the winter meetings anymore. There used to actually be action there. But Alex Cora made like the announcement there. I'm switching Mookie Betts and I'm switching Andrew Benintendi in the lineup. And I get that Benintendi's numbers last year in the leadoff spot were pretty good. He hit pretty good when he was hitting leadoff, which was about like a 20-game sample size or whatever it was. But this year, he's not thriving in that role. He has two hits in the first inning. So why are we still watching this team play baseball with Andrew Benintendi in the leadoff spot? It just doesn't make any sense for anybody. The team is not succeeding in that fashion. Now, I never understood it going back to the beginning of the season, going back to the winter meetings, why you initially had to make that change. Because what you had last year was the best statistical offense in baseball. The only category that you didn't lead Major League Baseball in last year was home runs. Okay, so Mookie Betts was performing at a high level in the leadoff spot, and clearly Mookie Betts' numbers are better a season ago than they were now. And I'm not saying Mookie Betts' numbers are bad. They're still really, really good, and he's still going to be an all-star and all that. And you look at Andrew Benintendi, he's taken a little bit of a dip off. I'm not saying it's catastrophic, but the one issue that he's had is in the first inning. So if you're Alex Cora, why don't you make that change? You're supposed to be doing things that are beneficial to your player. And I give Alex Cora a lot of credit for the stuff he's done with this team over the past 2 years. He's made changes all over the place, right? He's helped guys with their approach at the plate, all that different type of stuff. He's been willing to use Matt Barnes, who is basically, if you look at it by title, he really is the closer on the team, but they don't use him that way, right? They do the smart thing in the year 2019, rather, where they say, okay, in the most high leverage situations in the game, that's when we bring in Matt Barnes, right? So he's done that. He's made changes up and down the lineup, right? We've seen him do that from time to time throughout the year. But the one thing he's been married to, the one thing he's been stubborn about changing is Andrew Benintendi in the leadoff position. And clearly he's not thriving there. You look at the numbers, 268 this year. It was 290 last year. So the batting average down 22 points. 356 on base percentage. Last year, 366. Still pretty good, but you were much better last year. The OPS was at 831 last year. This year, it's at 784. So that's a significant drop off in terms of batting average and OPS. And the one thing you point to is like, it's very easy to identify the problem with Andrew Benintendi. The problem for Andrew Benintendi in this lineup, the problem for Andrew Benintendi has been what? He is clearly not comfortable hitting in the leadoff position in this lineup. And it's a very simple change that I don't understand why Alex Cora hasn't made it. And even if you look at Mookie Betts, I understand like the idea behind it initially was Mookie was going to drive in more runs with guys in front of him. But Mookie Betts was much better last year in the leadoff spot. He hit 346. This year he's hitting 295. His OPS was at 1,100 almost. This year it's at 886. So the average down almost 50 points. And the OPS is down like, what, 270 points. So Mookie Betts was actually better hitting in the leadoff position last year. Andrew Benintendi was better hitting in the second position last year. And you can say, well, okay, maybe they're just not having the seasons they did a season ago, right? Maybe they're not performing at the same level they did last year. Okay, that's fine. But when it's not that Andrew Benintendi is slumping throughout other portions of the game, that it's when you have clear, crystal evidence that the first inning, Andrew Benintendi can't hit the baseball. That's when you have to look yourself in the mirror if you're Alex Cora and say, you know what? Before the season, I came up with this idea. And in principle, it made a lot of sense because Mookie Betts hit 32 home runs last year. Mookie Betts was one of the best players in baseball, if not the best player in baseball. So I want to get more traffic in front of him at the start of the game so he doesn't come up with nobody on base to begin the game. Okay, that makes sense. But you know what happened is the guy that you thought could contribute or contribute rather as the leadoff hitter in that particular scenario, he's not performing. In the first inning, he's not performing. So if you're Alex Cora, why have you waited and why have you still not made the change to take Andrew Benintendi out of the leadoff spot in the lineup? I didn't even mind the fact that Chavis was there yesterday. Okay, I didn't mind that because at least it was a different look, and I get that Benintendi was out of the lineup, but I'd rather have somebody in there that hasn't had experience at failing in that leadoff spot so much this season, because clearly now, you'd have to imagine with this being such a mental game, This is in Andrew Benintendi's head. You think that he doesn't know that he only has two hits in the first inning all season long? So at what point is Alex Cora just going to wake up and realize, I can't do this anymore? It's actually hurting my team in terms of scoring runs in the first inning. How many times they score runs in the first inning last year? Mookie Betts was always on base. So why don't you go back to the old formula that worked to make you the greatest offense in baseball last year? Why don't you go back to that formula if you're Alex Cora? Go back to that, put Benintendi second, or if you want to put him lower down in the order, but clearly he is not fit to be a leadoff hitter. We have a couple of months of evidence of that now. So get him out of that position. What is taking you so long to get him out of the leadoff position? All right, a lot more to get into. Do you trust that Danny Ainge is going to make the right moves this offseason? Also, some really, really bad news for Kyrie Irving as he gets ready to become a free agent. I'll get to that. You're listening to Brian Barrett, number 617-779-7937. This is Late Night on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.